to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Gather round, friends, and hear my tale that started long ago on the Sleepy Hollow Trail. When the air is filled with the chill of fall, he's the one who leads them all. From witches' laughter and ghoulish growls to ghosts and monsters on the prowl. With a glowing pumpkin to light the way, he's lurking to find his perfect prey. He's the bringer of Halloween fear. Beware, the headless horseman is here.
Hello and welcome to show number 6 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On tonight's show, we're going to talk about the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party at Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World. We figured it was that time of the year, so it's a perfect opportunity to talk about our experiences at the parade, the fireworks, and all the other activities that go on. So for tonight's show, this is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Farrah.
Hey everybody, this is Tom.
And here we go. So this is the time of the year when the Magic Kingdom throws the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. And that's something that we've all been to, and we feel is probably one of the better parties they have at the parks. What we're going to do is pretty much go over what the party's about, and then talk about some of the goods and the bads experiences seen in the past. So to start it out, who wants to talk about what the party's about?
Not-So-Scary Halloween Party is a party that they have on various days all the way up until November 1st. To have a celebration of a lot of people's favorite time of year, which is Halloween. It's the one time of year where adults are actually allowed to wear costumes inside the park. And there's various trick-or-treating stations all throughout the park. It's a separate ticket. It's a hard ticket event, so you have to buy a separate ticket in order to get in. However, if you have the hard ticket, the park usually lets you in about 4 o'clock. So for those of you who don't have a park hopper and don't want to use up a regular ticket for that day, by all means, just show up at the park around 4 o'clock, because the party itself goes to, I believe, around midnight.
What time do they start the party?
Party starts at 7.
I believe, when they do close the Magic Kingdom to non-park ticket patrons at about 7 o'clock, correct.
Okay. That's a fun experience when they start showing you to the door.
Yeah.
If you're in the park and not going to the party that night.
Yeah, and you know, they do it well, because they don't really ask you to leave. They just, you know, if you don't have the band or the park ticket, they kind of funnel you out, because there's only so many places you can access. So once you pass a point, you can't go back. So you kind of, I guess if you wanted to, you could probably stay in, like, the Emporium and the shops all night. They're not going to, I don't think they'll ask you to leave. But they kind of just keep you from going any further than that.
Yeah, as I said, there's various different activities that is shown that day. There's probably the most all-encompassing parade of the year, in my opinion. I think it's the most well done, the best costuming, the best music.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really a treat for those, no pun intended, for those who stay for the events to see that parade. And
yeah, I agree. That is the most outstanding parade that they offer the entire year. I love it. And, I mean, Halloween's my favorite holiday, so maybe that's why. But I love it. The funny thing is, maybe it is that I like Halloween so much, but I find that and the fireworks the best offered throughout the whole year.
Well, the How Delicious is, yeah, is really good. And they don't do it anymore, but the first time I went to the party, instead of Tinkerbell coming out of the castle, during the Hallowishes, it was actually a witch.
Wow.
Riding a broomstick. And
I
heard they
love to see that.
Yeah, that was really cool. I heard they don't do it anymore due to I think, some safety issues with the way the witch was harnessed or something like that.
I think it has something to do. I think it has something to do with the witch's union.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I was thinking more like, does Universal have a tie to the witch or something
right.
like that?
Yeah, right. The witch's union just said, no, you know what? We're not going to do this. We need to, unless you give the witch a new contract.
So what do they do right now as far as that? Does Tinkerbell fly out?
Yeah.
It's either that or they don't have anyone coming off period for it. I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember that either.
But I know, the time I saw after that, I sat there waiting for the witch, and it never happened. It's like, oh, it's over. Oh. So, the stage show, there's a villain stage show that is led by Shadow Man. That's really cool.
What do they have? Do they still have that show in front of the magic, in front of the castle?
Yeah. It's the same as the Celebrate the Season stage show, but it's Halloween theme instead with the villains one. And again, I think starts off with Shadow Man from Princess and the Frog. Other ones I think are on there is Maleficent, the Queen of Hearts, Cruella de Vil.
Probably the Evil Snow Queen
Captain
from
Hook.
Snow White.
Yep, Evil Queen, and yeah, then Captain Hook. I might be missing one, but I think that's all of them that's involved in that. And there's two stage shows and there's two parades. So, for my experiences, as far as the parades go, 100% always go to the second one.
That's right.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, definitely.
The first one, the crowd will be insane. It's hard to find a spot. So, my suggestion is to see the first stage show, and then if you have kids go trick-or-treating, go trick-or-treating. Otherwise, enjoy the later lines and rides.
Yeah, there's definitely no lines, and it's pretty awesome. It's all decorated and lit up for Halloween, especially rides like Thunder Mountain and such. And you go out there and get to ride those attractions. And going back to the parade, there's nothing better than the guys with the shovels.
Well, the grave diggers?
The grave diggers,
yeah.
And they slide the shovels on the ground and they spark. And it seems like Disney saves like their best characters, like their face characters, for those to parades too. Because when we were there, it was a few years ago, but they had one of the floats with Captain Jack, and the guy looked, oh my god, it was uncanny. I mean, it looked like the real Jack Sparrow up there. I mean, it wasn't, some of them you see, it's like, eh. But this guy looked, just like Johnny Depp. I mean, it was unbelievable.
I've heard Johnny Depp actually does come back as Jack Sparrow with sometimes the Magic Kingdom, and people just don't know it's him. I don't know.
Really?
That's fact. I've heard of that. I don't know if this is urban myth, but I heard if you're not allowed to take pictures, that's a huge indication it's him.
Oh, I'd love to see him try to stop people from taking pictures. That's crazy.
I don't know if that's urban legend, but that's what I've heard back. Because I know I've heard multiple sources that he does go there every once in a while, dressed up as Jack Sparrow, doing the How to Be a Pirate thing during the day.
That's usually good. They usually have somebody that's pretty close to Jack, the couple shows I've seen over by the Pirate Tribe.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm very impressed how they make those guys look so good.
And the mannerisms. I mean, that's just the look. They really get the mannerisms and the, you know, they really get in the character. It's pretty uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's unreal to see some of the intricate costumes that adults actually get to wear. Because again, they don't get to wear them any other time of year. So they're one shot to come to the park dressed as someone. So some of these people just go completely all out for their.
Oh yeah.
Really impressed. Really impressed. We had our little costumes that we usually wear, and we were like, "Ooh yeah, we're gonna be dressed adults." You know, like we weren't gonna be we were gonna be one of the only ones. And we got there, and we were like. Full, Elizabethan costumed couples, and I was just blown away. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of dollars had to have been spent on these costumes.
So,
if not thousands.
Just a quick side note, just so everybody knows, the adults are not allowed to wear masks.
Right. That was the only stipulations for the costumes.
Correct.
No really? Full head mask. You can wear the mask over your eyes, you know, like the standard old fashioned type of mask, but nothing full face like the rubber masks or clown mask, you know, the full over
like a full head mask. Okay,
right. Correct.
Because my husband had from Friday the 13th, the hockey mask.
Right.
The hockey mask on. And I had one of those Italian Renaissance half face masks.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, wow.
Which it makes a little sense.
Paint, though, I think you can wear face paint, though.
Yeah, you can definitely wear face paint.
Because I see women dressed as Melissa, and, you know, with the green face and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, something funny, you were talking about the stage show. I'm a huge Villains fan. I've never, I only went the one time to the Halloween party, and it was on Halloween night. But we didn't see the stage show. We were determined to hit every single trick-or-treat spot, and we did. But we missed the stage. We missed the stage show because of it. But I was impressed by the very high quality of candy that they gave away.
Oh, sure.
They do.
It was the good stuff. It wasn't the, you know, little dollar store chinko stuff. It was really, really, really good.
Absolutely.
Right. And you know what we should do now is we're going to start talking about the different parts of the night. So we're talking about the candy real quick. And what Farrah is talking about is that throughout the park, they have little kiosk or candy stations that basically you walk up to, say, trick or treat, and you get a treat. And the majority of the stations give either full candy bars or a bag full of candy that you can then put into a bag they give you on the way into the park. As you enter the park for the party, they'll give you the small candy bag, which last year it had Wreck-It Ralph on it as the advertisement. And they also give you a map. And the map basically points out the different candy locations in the park. The one that kind of stuck out, I thought, was by the Liberty Bell boat because it was hidden down behind the dock. So they have them kind of all over the place, a little bit hidden, a little bit not hidden, but all very cool. And if you're into collecting candy, they're all over the place. And to be honest, I've only been to one party, so I'm not sure if they move between parties. But I wouldn't see why not. I mean, I remember hearing stories that they were over on the pathway between the circus and the Space Mountain, that whole back along the railroad there, which when we were there, that was under construction. So, of course, it wasn't. So I don't know if that's coming back or not. So what you do is you want to, if you're a candy fan, you collect candy as you're going along the night. Now, I do remember last year, though, there was kind of a mix-up. There was some really good candy and there was some really bad candy. But considering it was free, we really weren't complaining.
I was about to say, is there such a thing as bad candy?
No.
There may be greater and lesser candy, but is there really bad candy?
I guess I should say name brand candy versus, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know.
Well, I'd rather get a candy bar than a Tootsie Roll Pop or something like that.
Exactly.
Sure,
it was full-sized candy bars, and it was, but talking about it, all the different spots kind of sometimes being hidden and stuff, and you getting a map, that was part of the fun for us was, you know, we had the map, it was not a scavenger hunt, but it was like a hunt. And the kids had their maps out, and then they were, because wherever the candy kiosks are, there's these big, post lamp things, the big round light up thing at the top, and they were on the lookout for it. And I'm being seriously, we hit every single one, including the ones that were on that, the path between Tomorrowland and, what's the circus now. And, it was great.
It's like the big goofy candy company sign, right?
Yes, that's what it was.
Yep.
That's what it was. The goofy candy company emblem or brand.
Yep. That's kind of marked where the little trick-or-treat sites are. And not all of them easy to see, but, I mean, if you see that, you know you're in the right place.
I was thinking,
how many do you think per land? I was thinking maybe there was two or three kiosks per land.
I would think
at least three. A lot of them. Yeah.
We went like maybe about a half hour serious looking for candy, but then kind of lost interest and kind of moved on to other different things.
I will say, if you have dietary concerns, like as far as they do, if you go to the guest relations at the front, they will have sugar free candy and gluten free candy. And I've also heard if they run out, that I've heard they will issue a $10 gift certificate to the candy shop to go get some sugar-free or gluten-free candies.
No kidding.
Oh, wow. Nice. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's Disney, always looking out for everybody.
Yeah.
I know. That is really nice. Because you think about poor kids that have those concerns, you know? That is nice. Now, kind of related to the candy, but kind of not. We, like I said, it was Halloween night when we went, and we had scheduled a dining reservation either at 6:30 or 7, right when the party began at the Liberty Tree Tavern. And part of, like, as a little special add-on to the meal, and we didn't realize it until the next time we went to Disney and ate there, they were the best, most awesome candied apples I've ever eaten. They were just covered with all kinds of different sprinkles and candies, and I mean, we just all went nuts over it. But the funny thing was, we didn't realize that it was just part of the Halloween thing until the next time we ate there, and we were like, where's our candy apples? I'm like, no, that's just Halloween.
Do you see some of the stuff they're doing with these candy apples now? I mean, it's, like, incredible. Like,
you mean, like, at the Goofy candy place?
Yeah, like, there's, like, the candy apples now, but they put, like, this, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's some type of green sugar over the top of it to make it look like the poison apple. And
oh,
maybe
yeah,
that's something they're maybe something they're just doing during Halloween, I don't know, but it's...
Well, they always had the classic apples with the red candy over the top. I can only imagine it's just a different food coloring.
Well, it's a classic red apple, like, it's a classic candy apple,
mm-hmm.
but then there's, this green... thing that they put over the top of it, but it's got like eyes, kind of. You know what I'm saying? It's like in Snow White when she dips it in there, she pulls it up, and it almost looks like a skull draping over the over the red apple. That's
right.
Kind of what it looks like.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The apples. It wasn't just like the red hard shell candy apple. There was chocolate and sprinkles and. They were all different, and they had all kind of different stuff. Like, we had to slice, I guess you could bite them, but we had to slice them to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Yeah, it sounds just like the Goofy apples. They're awesome. I like the crushed Oreo cookies on top of the chocolate. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, has anybody seen anything or had any, like, special experiences with the candy collecting? The one other thing that stood out was that as you left the park, they also had people out by where the ticket machines are, the pass scanners. And they were all basically giving handfuls out to people who still had room in their bags.
Nah, that's neat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been a later night.
Yeah, well, I don't remember that from when we went, but then when we rolled out of there, I mean, we shut that place down, and we had a lot of candy.
Well, that's also something you got to think about too, because if it's a little warmer down there and you got all that chocolate, you got to have some room in the room to store all that. And then if you're going to take it home with you, we actually had to dump some candy. So you never know.
No dumping the candy.
No, we dumped no candy was dumped on our watch.
We prioritized, but yeah.
If I can't, you know what? If I can't take a couple of shirts home, so be it.
We always bring an extra suitcase just for stuff. I guess, yeah, I know Candy came home with us. But I think we were also there, that was one of our extended trips, like maybe 8 days, so. And Halloween was the first or second night we were actually there. So we had candy throughout the trip.
You can plan it where you go at the beginning of your trip.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because then you get candy for the trip. Because we always inevitably buy some type of candy to throw in the bags that we carry around the parks and kind of, you know, just eat while we're standing in lines and stuff like that. So if you can get all the candy and not pay for it before.
Okay, well, so after you're done collecting candy, then you have some shows to watch. Tom was talking about the show they have in front of the castle. What was the name of the show again?
I don't know what it's called. Unfortunately, I don't know the name of it.
I'm sure it has the word villains in it somewhere.
It's something. It's the something mix and mingle, right?
I'm not sure. I do know that it was a really, really fun show, and just like the shows they have in front of the castle all the time, they had some fireworks tied into it. Really good music, And here's the special part about these nights. They don't tend to have a lot of people there. So when we watched the show, we watched it in front of the castle, and it was like you had so much room around you that it was just a really, really fun activity. You basically weren't elbow to elbow with the next person like you are on a normal night in the Magic Kingdom. The same thing happened as far as the fireworks went, too. We were really kind of very relaxed, and because of that, I think it just made it 10 times better.
Yeah.
Now, I will put a little asterisk on that, except for Halloween night.
Halloween, sure.
Actual,
well,
Halloween night.
That's the holy grail of the week, or the month, is right there. So, yeah, I can imagine that was a little crowded, but I'm sure a lot more fun. One of the other things we started talking about was the costumes. You're right, the costumes are just incredible what people do to get together and get a costume ready for the park. And you know, it's hard enough to pack, just to pack shorts, t-shirts, and underwear, let alone packing some extravagant costume. We saw a lot of pirates. We saw a lot of zombies. Actually, that's what I was. I went cheap. I got a t-shirt from Walmart that was basically a tuxedo but zombied out. So it was all like bloody and gashy and stuff like that. And I just did a little makeup to match it. So it was an easy enough costume. You guys ever dress up?
Yeah, we did. We did. The kids, my daughter was a Can-Can girl. My son was a Skull Pirate. I was a sort of half Italian Renaissance chick. And my husband was... Jason from Friday the 13th.
How about you guys?
We've never dressed up, but, you know, I'm actually sitting here just kind of... I've been looking through the pictures, and we went 2 years in a row. We went in 07 and then in 08 to the Halloween party. And my son and my nephew in 07 dressed up as Power Rangers.
Okay.
And my daughter dressed up as a princess. And then in 08, my son dressed up as Peter Pan. So, we try and keep it Disney themed, you know?
Sure.
I have heard Disney asking some people to be very careful with their costumes, because some of them do it so well that, you know, they'll dress up as a princess and have little kids walking up to them wanting autographs.
That's great. Happened to my sister-in-law. Well, yeah, my sister-in-law just dressed as Belle just a couple weeks ago for this year's Halloween party, and there was an you know, she's nice, so she, you know, we'll talk to the kids, but there'd be in like a line of like 20 people right in front of her, and a cast member had to kind of break up the party. But yeah, her friend especially made the dress for it, and my brother-in-law was dressed as the Beast, only in the human form, so he had that costume on. But yeah, she had a line of at least 20 kids standing there waiting to meet her.
Wow.
In the pool of, of Main Street or somewhere they were in the park was, yeah.
And I think they're, you know, I think Disney, when they see it, they're pretty quick to break it up.
I've heard stories about Tinkerbells being turned down or asked to either cover up or change the costume because they were pretty right on. At the parade this time we went, there was a couple that was dressed up as Rapunzel and Flynn, and they were right on. I mean, people in the parade were actually giving nods to them and stuff like that. They were just so right on as far as how good the costumes were.
I think it's cool, but I mean, I understand where Disney's coming from, because you don't know these people, you don't know how they're going to, I mean, if people, at that point, you know, they're kind of representing Disney, if kids, you know what I'm saying, if there's a line.
Yeah, but people, until they start doing something wrong, they should let them enjoy it. That's their night. Yeah. They paid their hard ticket, so, but yeah, I understand. I can understand a little bit where that's coming from. Okay, well, I tell you what, we touched a little bit on this as far as the parade, so let's talk a little more about that parade. I agree, the Gravediggers are pretty hot. The whole scene they have and the dance they do is pretty incredible. Now, they also have some zombie dancers, or I guess Haunted Mansion spooks that have wandered away from the mansion. And their dancing is out of this world, because they're all dressed as zombies in formal wear, and they do some great moves that just, like, totally take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the music. The music's incredible. Who
do
you?
Best soundtracks. Oh yeah.
You can't stop singing it. It took me a week to stop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I loved all of the Haunted Mansion like personnel. Not to say that they all necessarily were actual Haunted Mansion workers, but all the cast members they had that were dressed up like the Haunted Mansion workers, kind of escorting the parade and everything. It was like they get the showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then like I'm just scrolling through my pictures, and there, you know, there was the whole Haunted Mansion area, and there's the women in the dresses, but they're all kind of ghosted out, and then, like Ed was saying, the men are all like on basically tuxedos, but it's pretty neat, and they actually have the groundskeeper and the dog.
Oh right, yes, they lead that part of the parade. That's funny. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
So there's actually a dog that looks just like, I mean, it's incredible. The dog looks just like the dog in the Haunted Mansion. So
now let's take a step back, because you mentioned that some scary characters. Now, I personally didn't get to see this because it had rained, and they don't let this happen when it rains. The ground's a little slippery. But who leads the parade?
Yeah, I've seen him, the Headless Horseman.
Oh, yeah. I've seen video, and I was psyched to see the Headless Horseman, and then they came on with the announcement that they will do the parade, but unfortunately the Headless Horseman was not going to ride.
I'm telling you, it is so incredible. And he comes, I can understand why, when it's wet, they don't let him ride, because he comes through there at a pretty good clip. I mean, he's moving. He's at a trot. He's not walking through. He's at a trot. He comes through, you know, probably, I guess, depending on where you are along the parade route. We were right around Liberty Square, but he comes through at a pretty good clip, and so I can imagine. And he's just holding that pumpkin. I can imagine why they wouldn't want him doing that while the ground's wet, because it's pretty interesting. It's pretty spooky, actually.
You brought up a good point, too. Real quick, when we were there, the parade started in Frontierland and it ended on Main Street. Was that the same direction it went for you guys?
Yes. Started at Frontierland, yes, and ran backwards.
Yeah. I actually got the opportunity to sit on the VIP area on that bridge. I think it's between Frontierland and the castle, where they rope off. Me and my wife on our honeymoon actually got the privilege to get VIP seating on that bridge. Seated right next to Robin. Seated right next to Robin Williams, in fact.
Wow.
Whoa. We actually got to see the Headless Horse. We actually got to see the Headless Horse and actually get prepped and everything. That was the kind of, that was really cool. As they're getting teams settled on there, and I still have no idea where he sees from, but.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, huh?
But yeah, to see him actually standing there getting, you know, put on, to get the pumpkin in his hand, asking, you know, is everything okay? Can you see okay? And it was really kind of neat to see that you get the opportunity to be really like within 5 feet of him getting ready to go.
Yeah, it's pretty
awesome. That was really a cool experience.
Let's just stop a second here for another brush with greatness. Robin Williams, that's outstanding. Now, Farrah, didn't you mention you were almost mistaken for somebody at one time? Who was it?
Well, actually, it was in the 50s Primetime Cafe, and I was sitting arm's length to the left of me was Glenn Close.
Oh,
and we had
the same
waitress. We had sat down and were in the middle of our meal, but our food hadn't come yet, when they got there. So when they were in their meal, we were kind of at dessert, you know, the dessert time. And our waitress was trying to get us to get a chocolate malt, and she's like, well, you know, and Glenn Close had a chocolate malt. She's like, she kind of looked at us. She said, well, she, you know, you want to taste ours? I was like, sure. Sure, I'll taste Glenn Close's milkshake. And at which point, that was the first point when my husband realized who it was and starts making camera motions. I'm like, stop it. Because she was with her kids and everything, and it was just a family moment. And, you know, I figured, what was it, would an autograph or picture be to me? It's really the story that's the cool part.
Right.
You know, and especially considering it would ruin their little family moment, you know.
Oh, sure.
So they,
but still, funny moments of brushes with greatness are very cool. We have to keep track of these and see how many more we can get.
Okay, so I've had, when I was there, when we were probably about, I probably was about 16 or 17, we had a brush with semi-greatness.
Was that Doogie Howser? The Doogie Howser experience?
It was the Olsen twins.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I had the Olsen twins too. We must have been together.
We probably were together on that trip. That was a trip we did with like, that was a trip we did together with like my nanny, and you know, it was a whole group of us. So we were probably all together on that trip.
The Olsen twins had Scar Tours.
Yeah. So that's when they were still
relevant. I mean, that's when they were popular. You know, that's when the show was.
They're kiddos.
Yeah, they were little kids.
And I have no way of proving it, but also during the Halloween party, there was someone right behind us that I swear to God was splitting images of Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, wow.
One of the cast members says she thinks it was them because they go there all the time because people just think they're dressed in costume then. But yeah, so I have no way of confirming that, but it sounds like they might have been right walking up Main Street with us during the Halloween party as well.
Well, you know what I was going to say about the Olsen twins is that, you know, that show, John Stamos was on that show, and he is, like, a renowned, like, huge Disney fan. He's, like, a big, 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 like, he owned, like, the original D from the Disneyland sign.
Wow.
That's how much, like, he's truly a Disney nerd, so maybe we can get him on the show. But seriously, I've read a lot about, you know, he's truly like a big Disney fanatic, so it's pretty neat.
Now, as far as the parade goes, what else was kind of standing out for you? I mean, the villains, of course, are big in this parade. I think I remember seeing a lot of characters I don't normally see, and everybody's dressed up for Halloween. Everybody's wearing a costume, so it's pretty cool to see, like, the Winnie the Pooh characters all dressed up for Halloween and Mickey and all his friends.
Well, you know, I think it's not just the parade, but you get to see the characters all over the park. We got to see the Seven Dwarfs, and it wasn't in the parade, but it was right behind, right where, it's right in Fantasyland, but what's that little store right there? It's Snow White themed. I mean, it's probably right where the Snow White attraction that's no longer there was, but, you know, the Seven Dwarfs, you never see the Seven Dwarfs, so... There's a lot of characters you see just out and about that you would normally not see, especially a lot of the villains.
Yes, a lot of the villains. I saw all sorts of villains. Villains from Pinocchio, from Aladdin. I mean, we were amazed by it. That was something we had noticed, that it seemed like every single villain that there was out and about.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I can't remember if the map actually had that on it, too, the autograph spots or not.
We'll go back to the stage show. If you go to the second stage show, the villains will come down in front of the castle, usually after the second stage show for movie boots as well. So.
And like you said, Ed, the characters that you would normally see, I don't know if it's the same every year. I'd imagine their costume changes every year. But the pictures I have of... When we were there in 2008, you know, there's Mickey in the parade, and he is in a, like, a jester costume. So that's pretty neat, too.
Well, I'm sure Mickey's got plenty of different costumes going on.
I bet every year he's in a different, you know.
Yeah, because I don't remember seeing him in a jester costume. In fact, I think I remember seeing him, like, in a vampire cape.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what would be cool? Mickey as a zombie.
Zombie.
That would be cool.
It's the one time you can see Jack Skeleton, too. Jack Skeleton's out this year, and I guess his line's like 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm. And I think the girl was with him last year.
Sally?
Yes.
Sally.
Yes.
I love Sally.
You know, I was thinking about that earlier. You know, and during Halloween time in Disneyland, don't they convert, like, the whole Haunted Mansion to a Nightmare Before Christmas theme?
Do they?
Yeah, I do remember hearing something about that. I forget if it was the Haunted Mansion or if it was Space Mountain, but I think it was the Mansion.
I think the Haunted Mansion, they tie in a whole Night Before Christmas theme to it. So they tie that movie into the to Disneyland a lot. You don't see it a whole lot in Disney World, which is interesting.
The only thing I remember about the Haunted Mansion, not the only thing, but the main thing I remember about the Haunted Mansion is that outside of the Haunted Mansion, they had a lot more, what do you call those, that they're not Disney characters, but they're characters, like a lady singing opera, and they had the hearse, and they had, like, the people that would be associated with the hearse, and you could go take pictures and in front of it.
That's
cool.
And
when you got home, there were, like, special extra things in the picture that weren't there before.
That's cool.
Actually, there, but there were a lot more of I forgot what they called the what they call the actors or characters that kind of just walk around an area and kind of mingle and interact with folks. But they had a lot around the Haunted Mansion.
And via the riverboat, they tell ghost stories out of it too.
What? Oh, wow, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Like on the riverboat? Like you go ride the riverboat and they... Oh, no
kidding. The steamboat, it's turned into a ghost story time during the Halloween party.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
I always felt like they should do something with Tom Sawyer Island, because to me, Tom Sawyer Island is kind of scary to begin with. Especially the cave part.
They would need a lot of lighting. People would just get lost.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's... Is that open at night? I can't remember.
It's not.
I don't even think it's open at night.
And it might be just because of that reason. I mean, you could really get yourself lost on that island. Imagine getting lost in those caves at night.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of actually what I was meaning. They could, you know, it's Mickey's not so scary Halloween party, but then
you
they
may
could
never
take,
come back.
Tom Sawyer Island. You have one little spot for really scary. But I guess Disney would never do that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like Universal Studios has all those different fright nights. The ghosts that say rip your lungs out.
Yes.
No, I don't think that.
People chasing you through the park with chainsaws.
Yeah, you couldn't warn somebody long enough or hard enough how scary it was going to be. And then deal with the legal matters afterwards. I mean, it's not worth it. And you don't really lose anything, I think, with not having that type of scare going on.
I think they tried that type of scare with Alien Encounter.
Well, right. And it's not there, so, yeah.
It didn't work, right. As much as
I thought
it
worked.
Didn't work.
It worked for me.
Yeah, no, it worked for me, too, but that's...
Yeah, I loved it, but...
Yeah, that's just another story for another time.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, I tell you what, the parade is phenomenal, but I think the fireworks are just as good. One of the features they have with the fireworks at these private shows, they also have it at the Christmas show, is that you have 360-degree views of the fireworks. It was great because we were watching it from the hub, and basically when the fireworks went off in full force, you were doing the circle, and you were seeing them all behind Main Street, down the entrance, back around Tomorrowland. And they really put on a show for this. It's incredible.
Yeah, I love that. We were smack in the middle of Main Street in the center circle right in front of the Magic Kingdom. And I just remember it was at certain points, it was just so bright. It was like daytime. But then with a purplish cast, because it's all, all the fireworks seem to be like in purples and oranges. And
I was going to add green to that, too, because they have that like really evil-looking colors going.
Yeah.
And the projections of the ghosts flying up the castle.
My kids loved it. They were just, and I didn't. I wanted that because we were there on Halloween night. How much of it was? Did they go extra because it was Halloween night, or is it really like that every night?
It's a really long show, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went extra on Halloween. Even so. One of my favorite parts of the show was they actually took a little bit of that Pirates fireworks show they ran for a little while. And I always love seeing that as far as the fireworks where the pirates are attacking the castle. They were able to squeeze about maybe 15, 20 seconds of that into their villains part.
That thing didn't last long though, huh? The pirate and princess party?
It didn't last long at all. I'm thinking it lasted maybe almost a year.
Yeah. I mean, for a hard ticket Disney event, That's really nothing, right? I mean, how long have
it been? Oh, actually, if it was a hard ticket, it must have only gone for a season. Maybe it went two different seasons. I forget what exactly.
At one time, it was a hard ticket event.
Are you talking about the one that was at the Contemporary?
No. This was a hard ticket.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom event,
Oh, wow.
Now they've just extended the Halloween party into, like, July. That is my one knock, is that, like... It literally starts in August now, I think. Like, the last weekend in August, they start doing Halloween parties.
Well, sure. They have to give everybody opportunities to go to the party, not just have extra nights to collect money. Which brings up a good point. The party isn't every night. I think it's about maybe two or three nights a week, or maybe four nights a week.
I think it starts out, like, when you're in September, it's just a couple. As you get closer, they start doing more, I think. Like, I think the week of Halloween, I think they get into doing three or four nights a week. But I think when you're in September, it's maybe only twice a week? Because we were there the last week of September into the first week of October, and I think there was only two shows while we were there. But I think as you get closer, they start putting more shows out.
Cool. And it makes sense as you get closer to the holiday.
Yeah, it gets a little more relevant.
Right. Okay, so what else do we want to talk about this great, great Halloween party? Actually, if you had one tip to tell people, what would that tip be?
As I mentioned earlier, my biggest thing to maximize your time, as I mentioned before, is go to the second parade. It just, by the time the second parade comes, a lot of the little kids that are gone, then there's this, you get the much, much easier to find a prime spot to watch it. And then it gives you the park almost to yourselves during the first parade, because like 80% of the people watch the first parade. So if the parade is something that's important to you, by all means, I can't stress enough, make sure you go to the second one.
That's a good one. I try to live by that every night I go to the Disney parks as far as parades go. If we have an option at two parades, two illuminations, whatever it's two-wise, if you could stay longer, go to the second one. Okay, Farrah, how about you? What's your big tip for the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Party?
My tip, or I guess treat, would be, I would say schedule, because, you know, you have to have dinner scheduled, and I would say schedule, you know, work your day so that you have an early supper so that you can go late to the night on for the Halloween party. My suggestion would be to schedule an early evening meal, you know, set your day up so that you have an early evening meal so you can go late into the evening and with all your fun and trick-or-treating. And I would recommend maybe 6:30 sit-down dinner at the Liberty Tree Tavern. They have all the great fall Thanksgiving-type foods and special Halloween candied apples. And then you can sit there and relax and eat your early supper while all of the people leaving for the day are leaving and the incoming people are coming in for the party. And then you have the rest of the evening to go out and have fun.
Okay, Jimmy, what's your tip?
My one thing is, you know, if you're not there on a long trip and budget's a concern and you really want to attend the party, you know, Tom had mentioned it earlier, you don't have to have a pass for that day. The park ticket, the hard ticket event, just the ticket to the Halloween party will get you in the Magic Kingdom at 4:00. So they get you a couple hours to do some things that are not party oriented. But then also get you some time to spend in the park that whole night all the way till midnight. So from 4 to midnight, rather than having a ticket for that day, and in addition to that, buying the Halloween ticket, you can kind of consolidate that.
That's a good idea. I like that one. For my tip, I have two quick things. The first one is, if you are into the candy, bring your own bag. Or maybe as you buy a souvenir, buy it early and get a bigger bag. The bags they give you are cool, but they're very, very small, and it does fill up pretty fast. The second tip I have for you, and this kind of goes in a money-saving vein, if you really can't afford to get to the party that night, you could still enjoy the fireworks, and this is something we say about the Magic Kingdom fireworks all the time. You could schedule yourself a meal or go to one of the bars at the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian and watch it from the beaches there. It's really, really nice in that they pipe in the music, and you can see the show in all its incredibility, because a 360 show means the size of the show has just gotten increased when you watch it from outside the park like that. One other location you could watch it from is the Ticket and Transportation Center, right above the docks for the steamboat that takes you across to the Magic Kingdom. It's another prime location to watch the fireworks outside of the Magic Kingdom.
That is a really good tip, and one I would add on to that, another really, really good one that we went to last time would be the California Grill at the top of the Contemporary. If you can swing a reservation at the California Grill for that the times the fireworks go off, that would be probably the best view, because you're like right there looking down at it almost.
We were there, it was September 27th. We watched it from Ohana. Hallow wishes. So it's pretty tough to beat that view. It's not the easiest thing to get a window seat there, but even if you don't have a window seat, just them dimming the lights and piping in the music, you kind of get a pretty good idea about it.
Well, that's the best part. It's like your own private show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is the music, right? So,
mm-hmm.
And then also, just so everybody knows, I just posted a couple of pictures to the podcast's Facebook page. One of the Headless Horsemen that we were talking about earlier. And another that me and Farrah talked a little bit about is Mickey in the Jester costume.
Oh, cool. Can't wait to see them. Okay, well, I tell you what, that's it for this week. We got to spend a little bit of time thinking about and remembering our times at the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. We hope if you're down in the parks when this is going on that you have the opportunity to try it out. We definitely think it's worth it. Have you guys been to the Christmas party?
I have not.
I have.
Okay,
Farrah. I haven't. I'm going again this year.
Okay, give me your opinion, Farrah and Tom. If you had to pick only one party, which one you'd be going to?
Absolutely the Halloween party, hands down.
How about you, Tom? Are you that definitive, or are you kind of still both ways?
I would say the Halloween's better. I think the Halloween parade, I think, is the best Disney parade that they have. So, I mean, I'm not big into the trick-or-treating. I don't really care about that. I don't really care about seeing all the extra characters. That's just not my thing. But as far as just the parade itself and the Headless Horseman, I would say that the Halloween one is a little bit better. Again, I've been to Halloween more than the Christmas one. I did not like my spot for the Christmas fireworks, so it might be kind of a biased opinion. So from the experiences I've had so far, I would say not so scary. I like a little bit more.
Okay, cool. So if you have to decide between the two, and you're lucky enough to be down there both times, you might want to try the Halloween over the Christmas. However, we're always looking for your opinion, though. So please send us an email and let us know what you think about the different parties they have down at the Magic Kingdom. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com or drop by the Disney Nerds podcast page on Facebook or even just the Disney Nerds page on Facebook and let us know what you think. We're always looking for people with ideas on what we can do on future shows, and we're also looking for people interested in being on the internet, podcasting, and coming on the show with us. So that's it for show number 6. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Quad Harmony.
Yeah, pretty good.